recently had a little breakfast date with a very precious friend of mine. And she has gone through a lot of heartache and a lot of trauma lately. And it was wonderful to connect. And as we were talking and she was telling me about, you know, just the journey she's been on lately, battling a disease that want to threaten her life, we just had some moments. And I've always known she's a godly woman because I've known her for a long time. God has placed her in my life here at The Rock. But as we were talking, I was just struck in awe, because as she was speaking, I was just in awe about the presence of God. It was just oozing out of her in the midst of some of the most difficult times of her life. The presence of God was just oozing out of her, and her heart, I saw, it's almost like I could sense how her heart was connected with the heart of God. And she's here. I'm going to have her come up in a little bit later on and say something. But I realized then the topic for this message is heart to heart, because I just saw it. You know, I was thinking about it and I saw that heart to heart. We're talking about the heart. We talk about our heart. But there's the heart of God that longs for us. There is a place we can get spiritually in connecting with God that is so deep that it seems to you it goes deeper than your very soul. Now, when you are saved, you have Jesus Christ in your life. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 5, we have the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So if you have opened your heart to Jesus Christ, you've given him all your heart and all your life, he is living inside of you. His love is poured into your heart. But don't you know that circumstances and life and preconceived ideas and ungodly beliefs are all things that fight that love and that presence of God from really coming to life in the fullest way possible? That is why it's so beautiful to come into worship in the morning. And that is why we do this. We don't sing just to exercise our vocal cords. We sing to worship God, but it helps us to focus. It helps us to just set aside those other things that want to come against us. So talking about intimacy with God, have you ever had a heart-to-heart with somebody? Now, heart-to-heart, some of you, bad memories come up. Some of you, good memories come up. But a heart-to-heart with a good friend that you can almost look across the room and just look at her face and you know what she's thinking. Your hearts are kind of connected in a way. I think of David and Jonathan. The Bible says that David and Jonathan loved each other more than their own souls. There was a deep, deep friendship, a godly, not a bad, awkward one, a godly friendship between Jonathan and David. And us as girlfriends, we can get weird easily, right? We hurt each other, we say stuff, that just drop it and just be a friend. It's God's will for us to connect heart to heart and be a friend. But what about God? God wants to connect with us in a deeper level. And yes, I am saying that there are levels. It's okay. The building is standing. It's just the air coming up. There are levels in intimacy with God. Okay? Listen to this again. I am saying that there are levels of intimacy with God. There's the intimacy with God that you think, wow, this is just amazing and it's good as it gets. But sometimes, at some points in our life, we make a connection with God that is so deep that you cannot even explain it. Why is this important for us to want to be intimate with God? Because God has so much to offer us. He has so much he wants to pour out in us. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to the power of God, the resources of God. He is a jealous God. The Bible says God is a jealous God. I mean, that is powerful. God is jealous. When you sit there and hang out with your friends when you should be serving God or be in the house of God, God is jealous. When you spend those moments in the morning watching the news, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just saying, okay? Just saying. You go on Facebook and please, you know, if you have to fast Facebook, go ahead. I'm not anti-Facebook, but you're on Facebook more than that. You see what the Word of God is saying. God is a jealous God, and I believe that this morning, this is your invitation, being in this room, that God is saying to you, He wants a closer relationship with you. There is a place with God that you haven't been before, no matter where you are, because God is so big, we can never fathom Him. So as we grow, 100 years is not long enough to live at all to come to the depth of what God has to offer us. So God wants to connect with us. How close can you get to God? How close? Here, I want to quote. At times in life, we experience or have opportunity to experience a depth of us, of His being with us, His presence that is as deep as the soul itself. This can never be experienced with people. There is a place that we get in a connection with God that you can never experience with people. Because, yes, you can have friendships and heart-to-heart with people, but they will disappoint you. And those relationships are not permanent. How about in marriage? How about heart-to-heart in marriage? That is a different level of intimacy, right? The intimacy that God has set for marriage between a husband and a wife, all of this message really applies to friends, to marriage, as well as to God. But let me just say that when we talk about intimacy with God, I'm going beyond the friendship. I'm going beyond what happens in a marriage, because God is so much more. The Word of God says it talks about David. Look what he says in Acts 13. I'm not sure if it's up there. He said, Acts 13, he said, He raised up for them David as king, to whom also He gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, listen to this, a man after my own heart. Is that incredible? That incredible that God would say that? How about Moses? We're going to go through some examples, but I just want to talk about Moses. It says in Exodus 33, so the Lord spoke face to face. Face to face. As a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Moses was face to face with God. So how does this happen? How does it happen that we come so close to God? And we're going to look at a couple of examples in the scripture and then look at the house and apply that. But as we go to scriptural examples, I want to start with my friend. Is that okay? Can we get her up here? And I just have a couple questions I want to ask her and share. So Candy Bennett, please come up. There's a mic over there. Could you give her that mic? Now, Candy, God has put a love between us from the day I met you here at The Rock. You know, she was, all of you may know her, most of you may know her. She was a coach and a leader here at Girlfriends for years and years and years, and involved with us in marriage ministry, in small group ministry, and you just absolute rock. Her mommy's here. Hi, Mom.
That's her, my mommy, mom.
That's her mom. Hi. And her mom has lived a life of ministry. Daddy's a pastor, so welcome. It's an honor to have you. But Candy, tell us what happened. You love God. You're an amazing woman of God. But you never knew the depths of connecting with God like you know it today. So tell us just briefly what happened. And I'll interrupt if I have to ask some questions, okay?
May 6th, I got a phone call from my doctor. We hadn't had health insurance for a while. And so it had been about 3 years since I'd had a mammogram. And so when I got health insurance, I immediately went in and started having all those tests done that you need to have. And there's no history in my family of breast cancer. There's no history at all. And I received a phone call that said, guess what? You have breast cancer. And talk about being blindsided. You're not sure what to think. You're not sure what to do. You're not sure how to react. I do remember a couple of things. One of the first things I did is I went upstairs all by myself and I told God that this was He and I together, because I knew I couldn't do this alone. We can do a lot of things in life on our own. We can do a lot of things in our own strength, but God will always make sure that you reach a point where you can't do it alone and you have to rely on him. And that was one of the first things. And I can remember sitting down with my children when I told my children, I told them, I said, doesn't matter. This hasn't changed one plan that God has for my life. Not one single plan has been changed. I just didn't know about this. He did. And so we started the process because it was a very, very fast process, which I'm grateful for. Don't get me wrong. But I immediately knew that first week after having laid out for me my options and what I needed to do and what I how I needed to face this. I crept downstairs in the middle of the night with my Bible because, you know, you run to Psalms. You really run to Psalms. And I began to read in Psalms. And I began to feel the heart of the Lord just speak to me. And to love me in a way I didn't know was possible. There was a moment when I felt like the Holy Spirit just said, you know, Candy, draw in close. Just draw in close. And all I could picture in my mind was burying my head in the chest of my Lord and letting him surround me and cover me and take care of absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. There's not been a moment. That was in May. I just finished chemotherapy. There has not been a moment of this journey that I didn't know he was right there. It was more than just being right there. It was being right here. It was an intimacy that was so deep. It was like you said, Pastor Eleanor, there's no words to describe it. I just read 2 Corinthians last night, chapter 9, the very last verse, and it says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. That's what this kind of intimacy with the Lord is.
That is awesome. Candy, what has been one of the deepest, toughest, and closest moments to God? Was it the beginning you told me of another time when we were getting together?
I can't remember. There's been so many. Okay. There's just been so many. Is it the one about my father? I lost
because
all my
I
hair.
Asked her when we had breakfast. Yeah. I said to her, tell me what has been the toughest and the very defining moment, and she shared this, and then we will continue.
Everybody, some of you have probably heard Pam Espinoza's testimony, and mine is very much like hers. You go through this, you don't intend ever. I'm going to be the one who doesn't lose her hair, you know. I'm going to go through chemotherapy, and I'm not going to lose my hair. And I did, and it was traumatic. Ladies, if you've never gone through it, you have no idea what it is like to hold in your hand fistfuls of hair, to look in the mirror and see huge bald spots and realize that this is really happening. And finally got to the point where my husband, bless his heart, he shaved my head for me. And if everybody can see my mother down here, this beautiful redhead, I know I have many, many traits of my mother, but the truth of the matter is that physically I have always known I kind of look like my dad. And as I stood there for the very first time looking in the mirror at my bald head and my flat chest, I went, oh my gosh, I look like my father. I seriously look like my father. In fact, I have a picture on my phone of me and my dad standing next to each other, and oh, yes, we look like each other. And later that night, as I was laying in bed and I was thinking about this and I'm trying to process this very traumatic experience, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, Candy, you look like your father. And I got very, very quiet in my spirit. I felt like he said, look deep down inside. Look past the outside. Look deep down inside. You look like your father. I look like my heavenly father. I have his strength. I have his heart. I have his characteristics. I look like my father.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you, Esther. Candy. It's a beauty that is indescribable. Nobody wants to go through that. Not everybody's going to go through that extreme. But it is a beauty indescribable. When something counternaturally is happening in your heart in the deepest of time. So let's just go through a couple of examples, because sometimes there are times that trauma and hardship brings us to that point that Candy said there are places with God she has never known. And she made a statement to me. She said, you know what? I forgot her words, but when I stand back, all the heartache and pain that I've gone through with this journey has been more than worth it for what I've gained in my relationship with Christ. How can you even imagine that? That's not natural, but that is our God. The spiritual is much greater than the physical. Okay, these bodies were not meant to last more than how many years. But our soul, our hearts, our spirit is going to live eternally and is eternal. How about Job? Do you know about Job? Let me just quickly mention this. He was a blameless man, the Bible says. He feared God and he lost it all. It's quite a journey Job had. We can talk about years about Job, but the end of the matter was that he gained back twice what he had. So he went through tribulation and pain to depths with God that are indescribable. So when you can go read the story in Job, but when all the calamity hit him, it was so bad that this blameless man, he said in Job 3, he says, why did I not die at birth? Why is light given to him? He suffers. He almost curses the day he was born. It was so bad that he said, he wished I was not born. Why am I born for going through trials like that? Some of you may have thought that. So here goes Job all the way through all the chapters and his friends and everything that happened. Can you believe this, ladies? Believe this. In chapter 38. Okay. Now there's a lot of writing from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 38. You know, that is the test. How many of you know when you take a test, the teacher is quiet? Think about that. God tests us. We heard the message the other day. The teacher is quiet. The teacher was very quiet in the life of Job. Because in chapter 38, finally, God comes on the scene and he says, I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And that starts a discourse with God that you guys have to just go read. If you haven't read it for a while, go read how God challenges Job and tell Job about how the greatness of God and who God is. And here is Job. He must have been dumbfounded. And then in chapter 40, Job finally says, behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I've spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. And then it goes on in chapter 32. God continues and God questions Job. And then finally Job answers and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Don't we all do that? Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please. Let me speak to you. I will question you, and you shall answer me. And then Job goes through this journey with God of losing everything, everything, everything. And then finally, when he submits and he listens to God, God takes care of everything. God restores unto Job twice as what I had before. But listen, it's not with everybody that this is the case. There are different ways where we can get to this amazing connection. Let's just look at some more examples here. How about David? David was the greatest king that has ever lived on this planet. He was a man with a heart after God's own heart. He had the favor of God. A lot of things happened in his life, but finally he came on the throne. He was the king, and he had favor of God, and then he sinned. He fell, and he had blood on his hands. He had the husband killed of a woman that he had intercourse with for it not to be found out. He had blood on his hands. And if you read the Psalms, here is Psalm 51. You're right there at Psalms. Just go to Psalm 51. There's another bit of homework. This is the Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to David after he had gone in with Bathsheba. He has just gone in with Bathsheba, killed her husband, and just thought that this is going to be okay. And then God sends the prophet, tells him a story of two little sheep and of the rich man that took the poor man's sheep and killed it. And what shall I do? And David the king says, he should be killed. That is wrong. And then the prophet says, but this is you. God called him out. And a repentance fell over David that you read in this psalm, Psalm 51 being a major one that says, have mercy on me, O God. According to your loving kindness, wash me in verse 2. Behold, you desire in truth in the inward parts, it says in verse 6. Purge me with hyssop, it says in verse 7. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart. These, God, you will not despise. Go read Psalm 51. Now, Candy say you go to 50 Psalms. Listen, when you read the Psalms that David has written, those are some of the deepest, deepest recorded moments with God. And we see in the life of David, he had all of that. He was the king. He had prosperity. He had the favor of God in his life. And he felt he messed up. God called him out. And God totally restored him to a place that he wasn't before. I have talked to many people. I have my own testimonies of going through things that are too hard to even talk about. But those were the moments that God spoke into my heart so deeply. When somehow, in those moments, that there's a connection, a heart-to-heart with God that is unexplainable. How about Enoch? You have to love Enoch. He never died. He's a man that never died. The Bible says he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I mean, that must have been quite a person. Hebrews says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God has taken him. Now, therefore, he was before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And that's where we get the scripture. Remember the scripture in Hebrews that says it is, Hebrews that says it is impossible to please God without faith. Sorry. That is the context of that scripture talking about Enoch, that he pleased God to such an extent. You just wonder how that happened. Here's Enoch. He walked with God. He must have been odd. I'm just thinking, socially speaking, a person cannot be just normal in this world and walk so closely to God. We don't want you to get flaky and all of that stuff. But this Enoch, he came so close to God. Who knows what happened? But he pleased God. There was such a heart-to-heart between Enoch and God that one moment he was there and another moment he was gone. God just took him. The presence of God literally took him out of this world. What an incredible story. Then there is Samuel. Samuel got a connection with God. There was Hannah that couldn't have a baby. Promised her son. Okay, so you can say, well, Samuel was just in the right place at the right time. As a little boy, he was left in the temple. He became one of the greatest prophets and priests and judges that has ever lived. And his mom gave him and all that, but no. There was a moment, I believe the deepest moment in Samuel's life, when he was a little boy and he heard the voice of God call, Samuel, Samuel, and went to Eli twice. And finally, Eli said to him, it's God that's speaking to you. He audibly heard the voice of God call his name. And then he responded. He had to respond. He didn't have to if he didn't want to. He responded and said, speak, Lord, here I am. So God called him. There are times that God just sets certain people aside to walk with him in a tight and a close way like nothing else. How about the Levites in the Bible? You know, the priests in the Bible. How close did they get to God? This was in the old covenant. They had to go through all the rituals and clean themselves, and they served in the temple. But remember, there was in the temple, there were three sections, and the deepest section was the very presence of God. And once a year, a priest would go in there. And if that priest, he came so close to God, into the presence of God, and if that priest wasn't cleansed the right way, ritualistically, according to the law, he came into the presence of God, and he was gone. That's why they had bells around his robes, because if they would stand outside the tabernacle and they hear the bells, okay, he's alive. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No, they didn't know Jesus then, but he's alive. But when those bells would go silent, they also had a rope tied around his ankle. If the bells go silent and the presence of God comes in the presence of any sin that was left, he just flat died. And the bells go silent for a certain amount of time, and they would pull him out by a rope around his ankle. How close is that to God? Isn't that amazing that they were born, these priests were born into the tribe and into the family to serve? They didn't go through what Job went through, but they had a close and intimate relationship. Let's look at the New Testament. There's Timothy, the spiritual son of Paul. He followed, the Bible says, I want to mention this, because the Bible says he followed the faith of his mother and his grandmother. So here he was, incredible person. Sometimes you have a legacy of a grandparent and a parent that you are spiritually born into and can walk with a closeness with Timothy. I mean, he walked with Paul. He was his son. He was his right hand. But I love to look at the fact that what brought him into this incredible place with God is the faith of his grandmother, because Paul said to him, I see in you, Timothy, the faith of your grandmother and the faith of your mother, so don't lose it. Sometimes, some of you are in a situation where you have had so much of God in your life that you literally are walking into the blessings of the generations that have gone before you. That can bring you tremendously close in this heart-to-heart with God. And then there's Peter. There's a lot more. I'll stop with Peter. Here's Peter. What do you think was Peter's deepest moment? Was he when he denied Jesus Christ? Or I would want to say it's when he walked on the water, maybe, right? Here is Peter. He's one of the disciples called by Jesus. Now, you know, the Roman Catholic Church believed him to be the first pope. Incredibly powerful leader of the church. He saw miracles. He was in such deep intimacy with Jesus. Jesus even said, you know, Satan is asked to sift you. And he did sift you, but he was called by God. He was one of the first disciples called by God. And God called him, Jesus called him, to an extremely intimate place that he went as far as literally walking on the water. How close does that get? Anyone of you ever tried that? Walking on the water? Here's the man that got that close. Now the question becomes, how about you? Are you as close to God as you should be? Just examine yourself. Are you as close to God as you should be? Is your heart broken? Is your heart hurting? Is your heart heavy? Is your heart in need of a heart-to-heart with God? God wants to come closer. God wants to have a heart-to-heart connection with you. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about you. I want to talk about me. How do we do, and why do we need this heart-to-heart close connection with God? So I have a little illustration here. I was going to give away these mugs, and I forgot. But let me just show you something here. I brought this as illustration. I have a cell phone. How many of you have a cell phone? They call it a smartphone. Okay. This phone is very smart, but not so smart some days. Not so smart some days. So this phone can do a lot of stuff. It can call. Oh, I have a text from Candy. It can call, I can get text, I can get email. I can even call up my notes on this phone, on an app on this phone. It's crazy what you can do with this phone. You can post on social media, you can email, you can go online, you can... I have purchased furniture on this before. I purchased the vanity for a bathroom the other day just on my phone. You can, it's just crazy what you can do on your phone. You can take a million pictures, but you know what? Sometimes my phone starts acting up. It just slows down. It gets on my nerves because it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And I get very angry at this phone. It's like, oh, my phone is not working. And my techie children will say, Mom, the phone has a capacity. And you are probably at capacity with this phone. So it's time for you to sync this phone with another device that's greater than this one in order for you to get this phone to work again. So what I use is my laptop. Now, my laptop has incredible capacity. Compared to this, it cannot be compared. I don't know the numbers, but isn't it true? She's laughing at me because she knows I'm not techie. But all I know, I check the facts with Dad, okay, about that. So this laptop has got tremendous capacity. So my million pictures that holds it up and slows it down, I connect the two and it syncs. So what is on there is on here and what is on here is on there. The two share the information. So I can actually go and delete pictures here and save it on there. And you know what the beauty is? If I should drop my phone in the toilet or nobody ever, how many of you have dropped your phone in the toilet? Okay, see, I knew that. Seriously. What were you thinking, taking your phone into the toilet? You say it fell out of my pocket. Now, I know you sit on the toilet reading your stuff. Don't text me sitting on the toilet, okay? That's weird. Okay, just kidding. Where was I? Okay, so should I drop my phone in a toilet bowl or in the water or in the pool or fall in somewhere and it's kaput, it's gone? Now I have a backup. Because everything is on here. I don't lose my contacts, I don't lose my documents, I don't lose my information. And although I do not want to compare God to my laptop, because my laptop also has limitations. But there's an analogy here that I want to use, that if I am the phone, I have limitations. I can do a lot of things. I can run and do a lot of things. But I come to a point that I don't work so well anymore. I slow down. I get tired. I get disappointed. People push my buttons and I don't want to respond anymore. And I know somewhere something is wrong. So that is when it is time for me to say, okay, it's time for heart to heart with God. It is time for me to connect with a source, because what happens, it's a download, it's a syncing between me and God that happens that enables me to have greater capacity, that enables me to function the way I'm supposed to function. And ladies, this is really the bottom line of heart to heart with God. Where are you at in your life? Because I can tell you, like my kids, I get mad at my phone and say, what in the world's happening? And it's not your phone, Mom. When's the last time you synced it? So you may get mad at people in your life. You may think there's something wrong with you. You have a diagnosis. I do not care what it is. But something is happening in your life that you think, okay, I'm over the top. This is not working for me. Here is the answer. God is saying heart to heart. Not just say a prayer and read a scripture. There's a place that you can make real, intimate, deep, deep connections with God. And it's different for everybody. So I just want you to forget about the person sitting next to you. If you do not know the answer to this, maybe God wants to speak to you this day. Just look at yourself spiritually. Think about your relationship with God. And how is it that you feel the greatest connection with God? It could be out in nature. It could be locking yourself up in a room and listening to music. It could be being in the presence, being in church. Where is it? And I know if you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, you will know what that unique place is that you connect with God in a way that is so deep that you cannot even explain it. I've had a defining moment. It's probably 20 years or more in my life. I think I just remembered it. I was in a Bible study that I did by myself. I really studied the Word of God for 5 days out of 7 days. And I remember at one point many points, but at one point I was sitting and God spoke to me. I experienced the presence of the God of God so deeply. I had to leave my stuff. I just literally almost fell off the chair and fell on my face on the ground. It's just like, oh my God, this is too wonderful for me. This is too amazing. Your presence is so deep that I feel, I don't know if I can breathe. I don't know if I can talk. And I just know I'm in the presence of God. So I want to challenge you this morning, where is it that you sense that presence? If you don't know, then you have to ask God. If you are young in the Lord, there is a place like that I want to tell you about. And it doesn't have to come through calamity. If calamity should hit you, anything, nothing is too hard for God. God could do it all. But now, today, God wants to be heart to heart with you. Listen. It brings oneness. It brings increased capacity. It brings strength to your life. It brings trust. When you can hear the Word of God, the depth is truly unthinkable. So I would just want to give you a couple sentences, and then we're going to move on to some discussion. How is this possible? What is there, scripturally speaking, that God is saying out of His Word that we need to know to get to this heart-to-heart way? My heart connects with the heart of God. First of all, seek Him. Now we talk about that a lot, but here's my analogy. I have my young adult son come to me as an illustration. Maybe you can understand what I mean by seeking Him. It's not going in a dark room and just laying there or praying necessarily. Seeking Him. Here's my son coming to me, and he tells me about his plans. He says, Mom, you know, I finished school, and I'm going to do this, and I think I'm going to take this job, and I'm going to move to this city, and this is my plan. This is the money I'm going to be making, and this is the increase, and this is the promotion. And he gives me his whole plan, and he loves God. He has a church, loves God. And he's like, Mom, what do you think? And there's only one thing I can tell him. I say to him, Son, where is God in all this? I'm looking for it. Okay, and I'm not to see it because it is your life, but I challenge him, laying his plans out on the table like that. I'm asking him, show me where's God. Do you know where God is in all this? I really, truly believe that is seeking God. It's when you commit your ways to him that he directs your path. So just introspectively today, because listen, this is not just a feel-good message or a feel-bad message. This is really a truly a moment that God, Almighty God, is saying to you, calls you by name, and he says, I have business with you. You have your plans for tomorrow. How many of you have already Thanksgiving plans figured out? How many of you are planners? You are planners in here. If you plan or if you don't plan, you anticipate things to happen a certain way. And I'm challenging you to step back and tell me, where is God in all this? And if you cannot see God in all this, the way you run your house now, moms, the way you run your marriage, not run your marriage, that's the wrong word. The way you live out your marriage, seriously. Some of you don't want to talk about that, but I'm asking you, put your marriage on a table, your relationship with your husband, and you tell me, where's God in all this? Where is God in all this? And I really, truly believe that is what it means to seek him. How many of you have lost keys, and you had to be at the doctor's office in 10 minutes, and you go nuts, right? You go crazy. You go screaming through the house. Who had my keys? Where's my keys? Can anybody have my keys? Call the children. Did you take my keys? You always take my keys. We just lose it. Seriously? Over a key? Seriously? A key, a diamond ring, or whatever. Just imagine if we can be that passionate to see God. That is where we should be, ladies. If I look at my life today and I cannot see God, just get a little passionate. Get a little responsive. Run to God like you do with the lost keys and say, God, God, where are you in this? Show me the way to go. Also, draw near. It's different to draw near. Different to draw near. I went through this with my husband, and he had to take that opportunity. He said to me, so, tell me. And I'm like, oh, my God. He's going to interrogate me about the message. He says to me, so tell me, how do you feel, when have you felt the closest to me recently in our relationship? Ask me that. And I had to just stop and think, okay, in the last year or so, when was that moment that I felt the closest to him? And my answer was, you know what? The moments that I have no agenda. Just think about that. Because us girls, we can be with the husbands, we can talk, we can do whatever it is we do, but in the back of our mind, we're just running other programs, you know? Oh, I know you do that. I won't tell him. But really, the closest we experience me as a woman, man as boxes, he just climbs out of one into the other, which I don't have. So the closest for me, the closest intimacy I ever experience with my husband is where there's time set aside that I have nothing else on my plate, nothing else on my mind. I'm just focusing on him. And it is the same way with God. That's really what it means to draw near to God, is to go low, be humble, be the least. Do you think I have things to do instead of spending quality time with my husband? I love the man. But I have stuff to do. I have places to go. People to meet. I have plans. You know, that pair of shoes and that purse in that store speaks to me in my dreams. And that's really where I want to go. But the man wants quality time. It's like, okay, I cannot go Monday, maybe Tuesday or whatever. I have stuff to do, but I will not get to that place of intimacy with my husband if I don't say, okay. And I've learned. That's what I've learned in marriage. That's what I've learned. You know, you just flat, and kids teach you to do that very well. You just kind of have to just, okay, forget it. Forget about my plan. Forget about what I want to do. Forget about me. I'm just going to go low in the presence of God. And that is what it means to seek him. And finally, ladies, finally, go public. Some of you in here, because God gave me this, and I'm finishing up with this, some of you have secret relationships with God. You're okay to tell people, yeah, I go to church. Or, yeah, I believe in God. But how open are you? How open are you? I remember when I was a kid. I was singing in the choir of our church. I wasn't a kid. I must have been an older teenager. And I was sitting in the choir one night in this small church. And across in one of the pews, there was a neighbor that lives across the street. And I'm like, oh, we've never told this neighbor that. I mean, meeting your neighbor in church for the first time is kind of weird. It's like, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. And they looked at us. Oh, I didn't know you were Christians. We live across the street from each other. That is seriously something big wrong with that. How public are you? Are you really willing to go public? If you have a date, single ladies, married women, don't think about this one. Okay? If you're single in here and you meet this guy and you fall in love and he says, you say, okay, are we going to go meet your parents? And you're so in love and so in love, and he just keeps telling you, no, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell him. How long are you going to, okay, ladies, how long are you going to go with that? Is that going to fly? And you say, okay, it's time. Take your relationship to the next level, right? And he's right. And you say, Thanksgiving with your parents. He says, no, let's just give it on the lowdown. Let's just not. That is sometimes what we do. You stand in the line in the grocery store, and God clearly says to you, speak to that person. And you're like, no, people are going to think I'm weird. Right? You don't want to be weird. Listen, you have now permission and commission to be weird. Because if you're not sometimes weird, then you will be just like the world. Not weird in a weird way. Okay, don't get weird on people out there. But be weird in a good way. Go public with this relationship that you have with God. Because you know what it does to a woman's heart, to your heart. Should you be in love with somebody, but they don't want you to tell anybody. Seriously, see you later. Hasta la vista, hasta mañana, or whatever. You know, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm so gone. And here is God. He is not like that. He's not saying, okay, cheerio, see you later, I'm so gone. No. He is patient. He's patient. And he keeps pursuing you. He keeps pursuing you. So I just want you to close your eyes right now. Forget about the lady next to you. I'm just going to give you a minute here to just ask the Lord. Let the Lord speak to you. Where is it that you need to draw closer? Is it that you need to seek God? Put your life on the table and say, where is God in this? And if you don't see God, if you don't see God, you have to reevaluate the direction of your life. Reevaluate. Some of you are sitting here and you think it's okay. It's not okay. Because if you don't see God in the plans of your life, your future is going the wrong way. Or is it maybe that you have to let go of your own will and priorities and draw near? Say, okay, God, I'll give up this, I'll give up that, whatever it is, I'm going to put you number one. Just give it up to God right now. Make that decision. Ask God to help you. And lastly, say to God, God, I'm going to go public with our relationship. I'm going to go so public, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit working in every heart right now. Thank you, God, that you are loving. When our hearts are broken, our lives are shattered, and we feel like a Job, that is then when you reveal yourself in a powerful way. When it's good in our lives, Lord, that's when we need you the most because we get so used to it. Like a Paul on the road to Damascus, you zapped him, God, with light. He fell off of onto the floor and worshiped you. Out of the blue, God, you brought a supernatural experience onto Paul. Do whatever it is you need to do, God, to get us close to you. Do your work, Father. Do your will. Have your way in our lives. Because we want to know you more. We want to take our relationship, God, with you to the next level, no matter where we're at, Lord. Next level. Next level in Jesus' precious name.